This is Andy Jones for MusicRadar.com talking to Gary Newman. Hi Gary, you're all set for the Lovebox Festival this weekend, but there were days when you didn't do festivals, so what's changed your mind?
I remember Ultravox did a festival. I think just before I became successful, Ultravox did Reading, and they had a really bad time. I remember reading all the reviews about it, and it just frightened me off, to be honest. And so I went into the first sort of 10 years of my career with that kind of attitude, that festivals are scary and just keep away from them. And so I said no to everything. And then after that, people stopped offering, you know, because I didn't ever do them. And it was only, I think, the Veef Festival quite a few years ago when Jarvis Cocker chose what the lineup was going to be and decided to do that one, because I was having real trouble getting radio play, and so festivals suddenly started to seem a bit more attractive. You know? So I did it, and I was terrified, but it actually went really well. Slowly but surely, got a lot more experience doing festivals and more relaxed about it, and now I love them, and I do think they're important. I think they're really good things to do, particularly if your music is not radio friendly. But from a career point of view, it actually makes a lot of sense, you know, because you are seeing lots of people that perhaps wouldn't check you out any other way.
And how do you treat the set list? Do you do the hits, but do you try and introduce some of the new music as well?
For me, it's mainly new stuff. I've got a real problem with nostalgia, which is probably does me more harm than good, but I don't like the idea of just going on and doing greatest hits sort of things. So for a start, say Lovebox, for example, there's a good chance the majority of people at Lovebox weren't even alive when I had my first hits. What's the point? So I might as well just do what I think is my best stuff and then see where it goes from there. It's what I'm doing now that I want people to be interested in, not what I did 30 years ago, but 25 years ago. Doesn't do me any good, really.
Yeah. And do you kind of hang out with any of the other people, any of the other headliners there? Do you know any of the guys who are going to be playing this weekend, or do you just go straight back to your hotel after your performance?
I'm going up with kids, so I think I'm going straight back home.
Oh, right, okay.
Put them to bed. But I know some of them. I know, I think Duran are playing the night before. I know Simon quite well, and some of the other bands. But a few people. But I don't have a massive circle of friends within the music business itself. I tend to keep myself out of it.
Yeah, and talking of your daughters, are they into the music now? Are they into your music at all?
No, more Madonna, actually. Yeah, Gwen Stefani is a big one. Madonna's a big one. Took them to see Madonna, actually, a few days ago. But yeah, more that. Oh, Nine Inch Nails. They're massive Nine Inch Nails fans.
Really? That's that's quite unusual. How old are they?
Five. We're just coming up to six, just coming up to four, and the other one's 2.5.
And they're into Nine Inch Nails, right? That's quite scary. As you might know, we're in the middle of yet another resurgence of synth pop, with the likes of LaRue and Little Boots bringing the sound of the synth back to the fore. What do you think about this? And can you say that you influenced it at all, or how do you feel about the latest scene?
I think Little Boots is great. I heard some of that the other day, and I thought she was really good. I read stuff, you know, that I'm had an influence on some of those people that are doing it. So, and I find that flattering, and I got no problem with it. It's just that it kind of taps on my sort of nostalgia problem, really. To a lot of people, I suppose it's new. You know, to an entire generation of people, it seems like a new sort of music. So for them, it's exciting, and I guess I'm proud that, you know, somewhere along the line, I played a part in anyone, I suppose, getting into music and doing what they do. So I am proud of it. But obviously, I've already been there, so I'm glad it's around, and it could well be that a new resurgence of interest in electronic music actually helps me. Although obviously my own music is quite different to that now.
There's also an interesting cover of Our Friends Electric by Jack White's band, his new band, The Dead Weather. Have you heard that one? It's quite a rocky version.
Yeah, I've heard a snippet of it. I've not heard the whole thing, but I was told about it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's good. Very cool, actually. But it's been a lot of it, to be honest. You know, I've had covers from Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson and Foo Fighters and all kinds of people, and it's always an honour. You know, I am genuinely proud of it. And then, you know, someone like Jack White comes along, it just keeps adding to the list of people that have done stuff like that, which I don't take it for granted at all. I really am flattered by it. Anyone that does something like that, then obviously some of their fans are going to check me out. So it's a good thing. And it's, I think from a songwriting point of view, it's definitely a pat on the back. I'm sort of particularly proud of that, I think, more than anything.
Do these guys, Jack White, Basement Jack, Sugar Babes, do you ever speak to them, or have you spoken to them since they've done the covers, or have they ever been in touch before they've done it, or is it just something that record companies organise?
No, I've spoken to quite a few of them. I spoke to Sugar Babes not long after they had the Fruit of Me songs. I had to give them the award. They got the Best Single Award, I think, at Q for that song. And they got me to give them the award, so I chatted to them. I always say thank you, because I am genuinely grateful.
Have you got any favourites or ones that you aren't particularly pleased with in terms of cover versions?
Yeah, I've got quite a few favourites, actually. Nine Inch Nails did a version of Metal, which is just brilliant. Marilyn Manson did Down the Park, which I also thought was brilliant. I really like the Sugar Babes Freak Like Me thing.
A lot of people are, of course, using soft synths these days to make music. Do you use them? Have you had a chance to use any of the emulations of the classic gear that you used back in the day?
Well, I've got all soft synths. My whole studio is based around being computer-based. But I don't really get buying soft synths or mini-wigs and things like that, because I've done it. I had them when they were real. I'm not particularly interested in trying to use the same sounds again. You know, I don't have a big happy smile on my face when I think about mini-wigs and poly-wigs and all that early stuff, because it's quite limited in what it can do. I ran out of ideas with a mini-wig after the first two or three albums, and I'm on album number 20 now. So that particular technology for me, I've already had the best out of it, so I don't have a lot of interest in going back to new plugins and so on and just seeing if they're accurate or not. I'm more interested in things like Omnisphere and all this new stuff that's coming out, which is just phenomenal, and that's going to help me make better music in the future. You know, your soft synths doing mini moves now are just going to help me recreate what I've already done.
You've got everything in the computer. I mean, have you ever tried taking a laptop away and doing music on that?
Yeah, I've got a laptop. I've got a mobile Pro Tools system, which I've got a little boat that I keep down at Eastport. So the idea is to go to the boat with a mobile Pro Tools system and just hang out there for the day and do songwriting, which gets me away from the kids, really, and all the distractions that they bring onto it, in a nice way, I mean.
Yeah.
So I do my songwriting down on the boat, or anywhere, really. I mean, I can go anywhere with it, a hotel or a weekend or something, and just work on stuff. And then I take it home to the big studio, which is also Pro Tools based, and put it into there and finish it off.
We touched on the nostalgia thing earlier, and it seems like your career is sort of split into two, because there's the new music in the form of Jagged, Exile and Pure, but from time to time you also revisit older albums, and you're going out live with The Pleasure Principle, which is your classic album from 1979-80. It does sound like you do struggle to try and constantly marry the old stuff and the new stuff together.
It is a struggle, to be honest. The reason for doing the classic album tours, which I do sort of once in a while, it's really kind of an arrangement between me and the fans. If I do those once in a while, they will kind of let me do the newer stuff in the main shows without giving me too much of a hard time. Now, this only really applies to the older fans that are sort of, you know, really keen on the earlier stuff, because obviously, I've got, over the last 10 or 15 years or so, built up a new generation of people that are more familiar with the newer stuff. But nonetheless, I am aware of that sort of debt, if you like, to the older fans that still want to hear those early songs. So every once in a while I do these classic album tours, and it kind of keeps everyone happy. I do struggle with it a bit, because it goes against my way of thinking. You know, I've always been about, you know, tomorrow, what's new and what's coming up next, and not really about harping on about what I've done before. And I really do believe that you're only as good as your next album. I think that's fair. And so, you know, to keep saying, you know, didn't I write a good song 30 years ago, just grates a little bit. And I'm not interested really doing that. But I am aware that a lot of people bought it and liked it, and so I have to. And I should be proud of it. You know, it's not. I shouldn't not want to do it.
Do you ever hear any of the older tracks that you haven't listened to in 30 years and think, oh, that's actually, you know, I really quite like that? Or are you too self-critical when you come to listen to these things and you just hear the mistakes or the recording quality or whatever?
No, very self-critical. It's impossible to listen to your own stuff and not just put it apart and think about what's wrong with it. I do that with anything, actually, not just my own stuff. If I'm listening to anybody, you know, a new album or an old album from people that I like, you tend to be pulling it apart. Not to criticise necessarily, but just to try to figure out how it was done and you know, what sort of effect was that, and what sound was that, and just to try to understand how things are put together. Because it's an ongoing learning process. you know, you learn a lot by your own mistakes, obviously, which is why it's important to pull your own stuff apart when you listen back to it. But you learn a lot from what other people do, both, you know, what's good about it and what's not so good about it. You're constantly evolving. Mm. You're constantly learning. We're constantly evolving to keep trying to make better music all the time.
I read somewhere an interesting fact that you only recently discovered how much your audience actually get into your music when you play live, because you listened to some, I think, some concert footage, and you actually heard them singing along. Does that mean that the 30 years you were just thinking they weren't really into what you were doing on stage, or?
Well, I knew they was into it, obviously, you know, because they're all there and you can see them moving around and clapping there. But I didn't know how much until I was listening to some live stuff a little while ago. Because even when I mix live stuff, I tend to mix the audience fairly low in it, because it seems sort of big-headed to be like a new audience really loud. So I've always been a bit embarrassed about that. But yeah, I was listening to these particular live albums, and they had a sequence of a series of microphones all around. So I was really, you could actually hear what people were saying in between songs, and people were screaming when certain songs started. And because when I'm on stage, I'm similar to this. I've got ears, in-ear monitor systems, so you hear very little of the crowd, just what bleeds down the microphone. And so for the last sort of 15 years or more, I've not really had that much feedback in terms of hearing what people are shouting out and so on. And so I was really surprised, just how enthusiastic people were. I didn't realise it's quite as vibey as that. Sometimes on stage, when you've got an in-ear system, it's kind of weird. You're kind of sort of isolated from everything. Often come off stage and I've been a bit disappointed on one particular night, for example, because it seemed a bit quiet. And my wife would say that they were just going mental.
You've been quite vocal about music piracy in the past. Have you got any opinions on where you think the music industry is going?
People are saying now that live work is the big thing. You know, if you can go out live, that's where you get your money. Even new contracts now, even new record contracts are being geared towards, you know, taking income from live work. So it's all changing. I know now that making records, you know, putting out CDs or downloads, whatever, you just don't make any money from. So they are making an album now, releasing an album has simply become a way of generating profile to try to get people to come to your shows. So it's weird, because to spend a lot of time in the studio making a record, a year or 2 years in the studio making a record, knowing that it's actually not going to make you any money at all, it's all just about keeping your name around. It's a strange one to get your head around, really, because it's so fundamentally different to what it was 15 years ago.
The advice, I guess, 15 years ago would have been to get a record deal. Would that be the same advice now?
It's different for me, because I've been around a long time, so I've already got a fan base that I can use. So for me to have my own record company and sell stuff online, you know, I don't need to market myself in quite the same way as a new band would. So I think it's different. I still think record companies are hugely important to new bands coming along, because they've got the budget to promote them. It's all very well having a website, but if nobody knows you've got it, what's the point? You have to promote anything you're trying to sell. You've got to promote it. Just having a website isn't an automatic guarantee that everyone's going to come and look at it. I find it fascinating, to be honest. I'm not down about it at all. Yeah, it's frustrating to see your album being downloaded by thousands of people that aren't buying it, but that's the way it is for everybody. So it is changing. It's changing almost every month. So
the last few years, you've sort of enjoyed a resurgence in popularity after going through a quiet spell. Are you enjoying it this time round after experiencing it first time round? Are you having more fun this time?
It's more fun actually. I don't feel any of the pressure that was there the first time around, because it's not new to me, I suppose. So I think this time it's more relaxed kind of thing. But it's much, much more enjoyable. Then again, I'm very different myself. Pretty much everything that happens, I've kind of been through it before, so it's much more enjoyable now. I've had a really good time actually.
And I'm guessing 30 years ago you didn't think you'd still be doing it now. So another 30 years?
God, I'll be 81. So I think time's against me for that one, really.
Bruce Forsyth's still doing it.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Yeah, all right, fair enough. I might have to adapt my stage show for that, though.
What have you got lined up for the immediate and sort of long term future?
There's a new album coming out within a few months or so. Friday, I'm going to be asked to finish it. And some gigging for that. Then there's a Pleasure Principle thing, which is classic. And then there's another new album coming out in the new year. And that's going to be a really big tour. We're going all over the world with that one, hopefully. So it's just more of the same, really.
Great stuff. Gary Newman, thank you very much, and good luck at Lovebox.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers then.